All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we have a returning guest. We have Chris Barton from Computer Talk here to talk to us about their contact center ICE platform and how it relates to Microsoft Teams and integrates with Teams and some things about the API and some of their roadmap side of things. So welcome again, Chris, back to the podcast. I'm really happy to have you back. So for those listeners that didn't listen to our previous podcast with you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Computer Talk?
Sure. Well, I mean, you can go back and listen to that one first because it's probably in the playlist right down there. But yeah, I'm Chris Barton. I'm the Chief Software Architect at Computer Talk. We are a Canadian-based contact center as a service platform, and we've been working with Microsoft since OCS. So we've been through the whole UC journey with Microsoft lately. You know, the latest place we've landed is on Teams. So ICE Contact Center. If you live in Canada, you've probably interacted with it. If you live in the US, you might have interacted with it too. You know, we're all over the place. We have, you know, it's a horizontal contact center platform that specializes in integration with the Microsoft stack.
Oh, perfect, Chris. So it's been a year since our last episode. Can you maybe talk about, you know, how, you know, the evolution of the platform? I know it was originally the back end of ICE was actually powered by Skype for Business. Mm-hmm. You must have transitioned, or maybe you're still using Skype, but you've, you know, transitioned to a more of a Teams first type contact center. So maybe talk about that evolution of the back end platform.
Sure. I mean, yeah, obviously Skype's gotten to be a dirty word now. I mean, everyone's trying to forget about it. I mean, you've got a couple months left on Skype Online. In theory, we're getting Skype for Business Server vNext this year. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I mean, the evolution of the platform has really been around, taking a more Teams-first approach to things. And what we've been doing there is really trying to concentrate on how we deliver a contact center experience to a Teams customer. So that customer that's gone and adopted Teams as their UC platform, how does contact center play in that? So where we've really taken a lot of bets is on things like the agent interface is completely embedded within Teams now. So rather than forcing agents off to some, you know, bespoke UC platform that is, you know, taking calls in a web browser, or maybe it's a web application that's got a web soft phone that's plugged into Teams as a tab, but that's the extent of your integration. You know, we take it a step further and, you know, the media is all in Teams. So, you know, calls, you know, voice calls are Teams calls, chats are Teams IMs, emails are emails, but you can look at your email in Teams. So, you know, we've got a way to give agents that kind of single pane of glass view through a new Teams-based agent interface that actually deploys as a graph bot. So it's a bot that uses a lot of adaptive cards, and we could push updated information to agents. But then it's also looking at how that integrates into a customer's workflow. So, you know, a contact comes into the contact center and you right away want to be able to push contacts to that. So in, you know, kind of the more traditional contact center, that is driven by things like ScreenPop. You know, we have an agent desktop application that will get information, you know, from the IVR, might go look up at a CRM and then pop that information in another window to the agent. So what we do is we surface all of that in Teams now. So in the Teams interaction on that contact card, now I've got, you know, information that's coming from the carrier. I've got information from Dynamics, let's say, about open support tickets. And maybe I've got something on there that I can even action right away that is that's on the interaction. So that's bringing something into Teams. And now, you know, what we actually do with Teams is we let people take that interaction and now action that back to the collab space. So I could take that interaction card now and say, okay, now I'm going to cross-post this to a channel. So, you know, now maybe I've got my back channel where I've got something open for an incident. Let's say, you know, say there's a service outage. You know, here's all the people that have to be contacted again when service gets restored. Or here's, you know, this is a trend we're seeing. Okay, how could you help with this? So it's closing the loop on that. And then obviously now I can go from that channel and, you know, redo a tracked outbound interaction. So when you look at Teams, it's really trying to use Teams like it's Teams, right? So it's the media handling, it's the collab stuff. So that's really what we've gone to evolve with Teams these days.
That's That's excellent. And I'm guessing to support all that, being pretty different than Skype for Business, you've probably had to make some architecture changes on your, you know, your hosted platform and kind of the product overall to connect into these tenants.
Yeah, it's you know, from an architecture standpoint, actually there's some really smart stuff in the Teams platform. Like we took a fairly heavy bet on direct routing for voice connectivity, and kind of back in the old days, you know, we were running cloud service contact center and connecting to agents out through Federation, mostly with Skype for Business and kind of the beginning of Teams. And Federation is great because there's sort of a zero touch deployment with that. You know, it's really fast to get up and running, but you notice fairly quickly that there's a lot of hops to go through, and the more hops you go through, the more you have chances of introducing call delays. And you know, when an agent says, you know, when they get alerted to say, hey, there's a call coming, if it takes 10 seconds for that call to connect to someone, there's a problem. So direct routing has been a great help for us there. And what we do is actually, so we run direct routing in basically a carrier model. So we have, you know, in our environment, we've got the multi-tenant direct routing SBC. We go to a customer that we want to bring on to, you know, with the direct routing connectivity. We say, great. You know, run this PowerShell script to add our SBC into your tenant, and now we can send calls to your users. And it's straight DIDs, doesn't monkey with anything that they've already got for direct routing. But yeah, it lets us do it at a density. If we were to try and have done this back at Skype for Business, we would have needed an SBC for every single customer we tried to bring on. So the fact that we can multi-tenant this is great. I'm really glad Microsoft thought of that. So that was, you know, that's sort of the one big architectural piece there. The other is, you know, some things we're doing around looking at new ways to use the cloud APIs. You know, and really that's things like, you know, we've just got a new capability now where we can actually let customers bring their own telephony to the contact center using Microsoft as a telco. So that's saying, you know, I can go into the Azure port, the M365 portal, I can acquire a phone number, I can assign it to an app that's running in, you know, running in our Azure tenant that then says, hey, this points at my contact center. So now all that, you know, that inbound toll free, you know, and whatever geo you want is now terminating. What that means is that if you're, say, overseas, that toll-free number terminates on a geo-local SBC, then routes to us through direct routing over the Microsoft backplane, and the latency is really good, actually, a lot better than you'd expect. Like, I tried this, we actually tried this, you know, a local Toronto number, you know, we're in Toronto, and a number, I tried, so it was, you know, you've got, you know, kind of your baseline latency. There was maybe half a second more when I used a Microsoft number in New Zealand from my cell phone. So I'm talking about bouncing a call from like Toronto to Auckland and then back over the internet to our data center. Like that adds maybe half a second. It's pretty impressive. And I mean, obviously you're not going to be calling overseas like that, but for someone who's geo-local, like that's, it's cool to be able to use those calling APIs in new ways. And that's the kind of thing we're you know, there's some more stuff on the roadmap that we're doing under that, but yeah. So yeah, there's been constantly evolution of the platform, and that's what's really cool about running this as a cloud service is that, you know, as a cloud service, as a service provider, we can just iterate on this stuff as, you know, as we come up with new ideas. So we're not tied to this like old on-prem version, you know, major version lift and shift upgrade. We can say, you know, hey, we got a new feature. We can push that out and get that out to our install base. You know, a whole lot more, whole lot easier.
That's great detail. Kind of along that same line. So I believe Contact Center ICE, you know, from Computer Talk, is one of the first to be certified for Teams. Yep. So how was that certification process? I know that was probably a long one that was in beta and preview and that, but you made it through the gates. Mm-hmm.
We did. Yeah, I think we were actually the second ones to finish anywhere. Anywhere 365 beat us by like a week. But it was a process this time. And it's funny, this is the fourth time we've done contact center cert with Microsoft. Different Skype for Business releases, Link releases back in the day. And what's different this time it's a whole lot more extensive. Like before it was really, here's a fairly basic test plan. They had a third party lab validate it and they said, okay, you're good to go. It's a stamp. There's a line on a website. And that was really kind of what the program was. This time there's a lot more to it. There's more agreements. They're doing more assessments. So it's not just basic functionality of the APIs, but it's, the security assessments. So, we'd already done, we've done PCI and we've done SOC. So, we had a lot of that was covered there, but there was even things they were asking about that were, above and beyond some of those things. So, they're making sure you have data privacy policies in place and how are you handing off tickets between Microsoft support and ComputerTalk support? There's really a much more holistic view of how contact center partners are gonna work now, and that's why there's a smaller number of them. I think the table stakes have gone up, and as such, I think the service levels have gone up. So I think the idea is that by buying into something that's a live service, because let's face it, I mean, Teams is a moving target. Right. So it's not just a commitment from the partners to continue supporting Teams, but it's a commitment from Microsoft to continue supporting the partners. So that means that, they're not going to push out updates necessarily that break our solution. So that's that there's a lot. There's more to it this time, I think, is the biggest answer. So that's why it took longer. Yeah, this was about. This was a several month process to get this one done, but it's not a one and done thing is the other difference. Like there's a requirement that everyone in that program keeps current. As material changes the platform rollout, I mean, they're going through and saying, look, we got to go through and test it all again because we made this change or you've rolled out this change. So we got to make sure that everything is up to date. So it's a good program this time around, and hopefully that means that these solutions will be better.
So maybe that's a good segue, Chris, into the next question topic. When I go to the Teams contact center site, which lists all the current certified vendors, and you see ComputerTalk there, what struck me was these new models that they list further down the page. So if you go to docs.microsoft.com for viewers and listeners, Microsoft Teams or Teams Contact Center, if you just do a search for that, you'll find all the list of current certified contact center vendors. And it is a short list. And you'll see the ones currently in certification too. But then if you scroll down a bit, you'll see these models called Connect, Connect and Extend, and Extend and Power. And I'm like, what the heck are these things? And so, it's interesting, and maybe talk us through those, sure. Chris, and tell us, like, do you fit into one of those or all of them? Like, how do they work?
So I'll give you my answer to this, and my interpretation of it, and what you might get from Microsoft, man, a little different, but I think materially, they're pretty much the same. So the Connect model is really. At the lowest level, can I get a call from the contact center to Teams? And the difference there is it doesn't necessarily mean the contact center call is on Teams. And in fact, in most cases, it's not. So this is the Genesis model. Like Genesis is, the big dog in the room. They wanted to say, Microsoft wanted to say, hey, we work with Genesis. And what Genesis can do is they can take a call that lands in Genesis and throw it over the wall to Teams. And that's about it. So, throw it over the wall means, you're blind transferring the call out of another platform. They lose visibility of the call. They lose, any recording, any, stats tracking on that. But it transferred, right? And the use case there is saying, well, okay, I want to have an agent transfer to a subject matter expert, so I can do a toss out to an SME, and that means that. It's kind of the Connect. The Connect is really around basic media connectivity. So that's where a lot of the direct routing stuff comes in, SPC to SPC connectivity. So, I mean, it's good to be there, and that's kind of a good baseline, but it's really not, doing anything Teams like. You know, it's really just saying, you know, I've got kind of got basic media connectivity. So, you know, you go a level up from that and you get into Connect and Extend, and that's really where we kind of play. You know, that's saying that you know, you're doing the basic media connectivity, but you're doing more with Teams. So that's where we've done things like, you know, the agent UI embedded in Teams and the supervisor UI embedded in Teams. And then, you know, even being able to do stuff like mid-call, you can, you know, while you've got an application listening in on the call, I can send an actionable alert to an agent. So, you know, hey, maybe you want to transfer this to this other, you know, retention group, or, you know, maybe here's an offer you want to present. You know, that can, you know, traditionally where that would be, again, like a web-based screen pop, this is something, you know, we can push right into Teams because we have those hooks into the client through the bot framework. And then getting up to Extend and Power, like that's sort of the stuff I was talking about where, you know, we're taking and, you know, being able to do things like I can actually accept calls on Microsoft telephony systems. So, you know, so I could take a service number or a direct routing number that's provisioned and pointing at a Graph application and connect that into my contact center. So, you know, that's when you're using some of the, you know, native Microsoft services to do things within the contact center. So, I mean, really, there's not a solution on the market today that is 100% powered by the Teams, the Graph APIs. You know, they're not quite there yet to do all of the things, at least that we're doing. I mean, there's some basic conference manipulation things you can do right now. You know, it's getting better, but you know, for what we're doing, you know, what we're looking for right now is how can we use those Graph APIs to supplement the platform that we've got and be more, you know, really to be more Teams-like and, you know, use that Teams, those Teams flows the way they're meant to be.
Good stuff. One of the questions I had, Chris, was given that this is sort of a new product, new platform for customers mm-hmm. that were on the old one, yep. which was more Skype for Business centered. Is there a mm-hmm. migration path to the new platform?
Yep. And again, this is, you know, anybody that was in our cloud already, we can move them over to Teams. Like the migration from, you know, on from an ICE standpoint is actually really easy. I mean, the difference between saying, you know, you're an agent who's using a PSTN hookup for their line or a PBX line or a Skype line to go to Teams is we change the connection address on our side. Or you, or even the agent changes it themselves. Like they change where their login points. And, you know, so from a migration standpoint, like if you've got someone who's not on Teams yet and wants to, you know, wants to bring their contact center on, like we can work through that migration, you know, real well. You know, we've got some customers. I know, I think it was one of Dino's we worked with that, did a very large Teams migration that, you know, the contact center was part of, and that, you know, that went fairly, you know, really smoothly from what I remember. From a connectivity standpoint, everything goes across from a, you know, application customization. You know, we've got a fairly rich, call flow engine that all comes forward because of the abstractions we've done. So, you know, really it's, you know, any of our customers who are on our cloud continue to work, and anybody who is CPE, you know, there's still a few of those left. They can, you know, there's an upgrade path for them as well. Or they can go cloud.
All right. Sounds pretty seamless. That's great.
Yeah. It's.
One last quick question and I'll turn it over to Habib. You know, you talked a bit about the architecture and like the multi-tenant SBC mm-hmm. and that. Take me through just high level. I'm a net new customer. I just want to trial the solution. What are the big sort of high level deployment steps, or what are the prerequisites required to just get up and running from zero to I'm live?
Well, I mean, if it's a new customer, if you're a new customer that just wants to try the solution out, I mean, we have sandbox instances we can throw you that, you know, that's just a, you know, poke around at it, see if it does what you want. So, you know, you can be up and taking calls in no time at all if you've got Teams. Like if you have a Teams address, I can make you an agent right now. Like it's just it's simply, you know, we provisioned an instance for you in our cloud. It's very much like if you've ever gone through the process of setting up, say, a new M365 tenant, you know, same idea. You know, we're, you know, there's obviously there's some per tenant storage that gets set up, spun up on our side. There's, you know, some addresses and such that get provisioned. But, you know, once that's done and that's, you know, that's a fairly quick process, you're taking calls as an agent in, you know, in, you know, same day. So it's not a, you know, and again, from an onboarding standpoint, you know, as far as like the team's piece, you know, there's some instructions that, you know, from the tenant side, you have to provision the, you have to give the app permissions in your tenant. But once the tenant admin has done that, that is something that can then be pushed to all your users. So it's something that, for instance, the ice bar for Teams application, that deploys in the tenant app catalog. So as a new user and a tenant, they can either go in and discover that and just install it themselves, or you can use, set up a policy that pushes that out. So yeah, from an onboarding standpoint, you know, we're a cloud service, right? So it's, yeah. You know, the onboarding's got to be easy.
Cool. Yeah. So for those customers who want to trial, it sounds pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Yep. And then the, you know, getting on board and trialing it is easy. I guess the one thing I will add to that is, it's very easy to get set up and start going. Where the engagement tends to get a little more high touch, and this is sort of just contact center in general, is, you know, contact centers of, you know, it's not a one size fits all type of application. There's a lot of customization that goes into a contact center, and a lot of customization that has to go into a successful contact center. You know, you could very easily go in and through your M365 membership, set up a call queue in Teams and say, well, I've got five people and I'm doing an ACD. So I got a contact center, right? And yes, but no. you know, and that's where we really come in, and we, you know, it's really trying to understand, you know, what that customer's process is and what they want to get out of this. So it's things like, you know, we do just about every deployment we do, there is some level of application integration. A lot of times that's, you know, that'll be to the CRM. So whether that's Dynamics or Salesforce, or something homegrown, whether that's integration into a workforce engagement module. So, you know, you've got things like workforce management for employee scheduling. You've got voice of the customer systems, you know, someone who's got like a Qualtrics deployed, you know, we'll integrate with that to say, okay, how do we want to take the interaction data that we have in the contact center? And then, you know, okay, well, when someone calls you, you know, okay, you want to know who they are. You want to know, you know, who they are, what they might want, even where were they on your website, right? Like if you have a click to call on your website, that doesn't need to be anonymous. So, you know, if instead of making an anonymous phone call, you have a link on your website that says, hey, register for a callback, that can A, save someone time sitting on hold, and B, provide a whole lot of context on what that person was doing when they wanted to contact you. So it's kind of a win for both the customer and the organization, because, you know, everybody's bringing more context to those communications.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, I think Kurt's got a lot of time on his hands, so we can set him up as an agent for computer talk.
Awesome.
So, I mean, you sort of quickly touched about this portion of it earlier, Chris, but like, obviously there were some challenges with regards to the integration with Skype for Business. You know, what are maybe some of the big problems that have been solved by moving into Teams and utilizing the new type of deployment and infrastructure and integrations that you talked about briefly?
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, yeah, again, direct routing has been awesome for us. Like that, you know, calls connect much faster with direct routing. That, you know, when we first started bringing people live on Teams with Federation, I know we had some issues where, you know, calls were taking several seconds to connect. You know, it was honestly very difficult to troubleshoot, because if you remember back in the Skype for Business days, you had this nice, you know, CLS logger where I could pull up a SIP trace of everything and I could look through the ladder. Teams kind of says, yeah, the call failed, or the call connect. No, the call was fine. It connected. Just we're not going to tell you how long it took to connect, but it got there. So, you know, working through some of that early on, and, you know, getting up to the direct routing solution, that's it's a lot more optimized. And I, so I think that was a big win for us. Let me think here. Yeah. Other issues have really, really been, kind of around, like I know with Skype, you know, there were challenges around, you know, around conference performance and how many, you know, how many conferences can you run on a system. And so we've had to do, you know, some optimization around how that, how that those internals work. But yeah, we're pretty happy with being able to do things, you know, like the direct SIP connectivity to M365. You know, the fact that they did think again of the multi-tenancy there, like our solution is by, you know, by design multi-tenant. So, you know, that's been sort of one of our principles from the beginning. So being able to multi-tenant direct routing has been great. It's fairly low touch to get applications into a customer tenant. So, you know, there's some great stuff there. And then even being able to you know, multi-tenant some of this stuff on Azure, like that component I talked about that was doing the Microsoft telephony provisioning, that's all CI/CD into Azure right now. So it's been kind of a cool journey for us, you know, figuring out, you know, even the configuration for that is code. So, you know, being able to just push new, you know, onboard new tenants by doing a pull request in Git is really cool. So, you know, there's more good stuff like that to come.
Awesome. Yeah, I think with our last discussion, there seems to be less complexity around the federation side of things and just being able to just send the dial tone somewhere, right? I mean, and hooking it up directly at the customer side or rerouting the number back to you guys from like that IVR perspective. So, I mean, all this, you know, obviously is really great. Definitely love the, you know, I guess the new features that you guys have with your product. Also the explanation of the connect and extend and extend and power, because, you know, we were a bit stumped on that one as to how, you know, how it all really works. So definitely appreciate your insights on that. So, you know, I guess I'll just leave it at that. You know, thanks for coming on, Chris, and giving us your insights again. And thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
See ya.